When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show is underway. Thanks for being here. A lot of news. Of course, the protest madness starting on Columbia University's campus, now replicated on a whole lot of other campuses. Seen it in, oh gosh, it's up at Yale. It's so that's Connecticut. It's in Minnesota. It's, I can't even name all the states. All over the place, these campus protests breaking out right at the end of the school year. Arrests have been made. NYU in New York, arrests have been made there. So we're going to dive into that whole situation for sure. And yes, sir.
I just want to point out something you said yesterday, but I think it's very funny and worth pointing out. The protesters are so upset about what's going on that they waited until the weather was good enough to be able to camp out in the Northeast to actually camp out on the quad. They didn't do this in January and February.
The Israeli military escalation, invasion, whatever, has been going on for months.
Yes.
And yet there was no Occupy the Quad protest in February.
It's very funny. But
now that it's, you know, hacky sack and patchouli weather out in the quad, you know, everyone just hanging out, they're having a good time. So we'll discuss some of the madness here. And also, as we said, real dedication would be University of Michigan or Minnesota or Buffalo, protesting out on the campus quad January, then you're committed. Like right
now, have you ever tried to sleep outside when it's really cold? I mean, it is absolutely brutal for anybody who has ever done it. It's just very funny that it's now nice outdoors weather and they're suddenly like, we've got to take over the quad. We've got to sleep outdoors.
And, I remember I had to eat outside once, long story, during the worst of COVID madness, and it was January. And I was absolutely like, I actually lost touch with my butt. Like, I don't know if it was there anymore. That's how cold it was. You never want to be like, is my butt still there? That's a bad day.
We had a camp, sleepover in February, for the school that my kids go to. It's a dad son camp out, and you could take all your boys. And my youngest at the time was like 5 or 6 years old. And in the middle of the night, he just came over to me and he said, "Dad, can I please get into your sleeping bag? I am just so unbelievably cold." You know, my little kid and youngest son. And he just climbed in and just burrowed down underneath, just immediately went to sleep. I couldn't move, of course. But it is funny. It is very worth noting, and I haven't heard anybody else mention it. They're so committed to the idea of anti-Israel protest. But only if it's not that cold outside, which is perfect for these people.
So we've also got, we're going to dive into that a lot. I've been analyzing the masking phenomenon on campus. And it's complicated and very interesting because there are a lot of these protesters wearing masks. You see the photos, you see the videos. Why?
I know everyone thinks they know why, but it's actually different things depending on the protesters we're talking about. I'll get into that in a moment. This story, Clay sent this to me. This one just infuriates me. This American dad, father of two, is arrested returning from his vacation in the Turks and Caicos Islands in the Caribbean. This kind of hits home. I was just in the Caribbean myself. And he faces a mandatory 12-year prison sentence for having a few hunting rifle. I believe it's rifle. It might be shotgun. I don't even know. Hunting, ammunition rounds for hunting. It wasn't clear.
Not a weapon. A bag that he had had maybe ammunition stored in before.
And a couple of rounds. It was a mistake. I'll tell you, I have, and I was taught this by a special forces guy. He said, first of all, no one ever packs your gear before you go out onto the range or off the range, but you. You never let anyone else pack when you're dealing with ammunition and firearms, because you never know when someone's going to inadvertently stick a few rounds into this pocket because they're loose. Loose rounds happen all the time. He said, you are always, it's almost like the airport thing, except he said, you're always in charge of your kit to and from the range. And it's because of situations like this. So anyway, it drives me insane. There is no justice if somebody, for an inadvertent mistake with no cost to anyone or anything, it faces prison time. I want to discuss that in a little bit. Morning Consult, Bloomberg poll. We'll get into this. I'm going to have to calm Clay down a little bit. It's a little early still, Clay. It's a little early, all right? We can't get too excited. We got to keep our composure. Trump is absolutely trouncing Biden in all of these polls, okay? And we're going to have to just look at that reality, not get too far ahead of ourselves. And then Supreme Court is looking at an Idaho abortion law, federal law. And I've got some thoughts, Clay, on how they're taking this. Oh, and one more thing. Walmart getting rid of some automated checkout stations, but not because of efficiency. We will discuss that. Walmart's already starting to phase it out. But let's start with this. I was like, look, you're hearing some sanity from people out there in the media in surprising places. And I think it's in part because, one, they're worried about the backlash from the Jewish community in this country in an election year. And you know, they probably should be, right? Also, Clay, I think that so they recognize the politics of this. They recognize that it's something that could come back and bite them. But we'll get into some of those moments. But first off, this was on a Substack. I'll track down the author in a second. Pardon me for quoting without citing, but I have to quote it. Part of the reason, say organizers at Columbia, that they're masking remains an attempt to make a point about exposure to COVID-19 and other health risks, which some in the protest movement believe remains dire. Part of it is the threat of a different kind of exposure from being captured by facial recognition technology or being doxxed by counter protesters. Clay, I was saying this. I think you can tell the difference, because if you're just a civilization hating pro terrorist loon, you go with the keffiyeh. You go with the scarf of, you know, that you associate with Hamas. Yeah. And this is like, you know, and you start, you walk around with that thing on and you pull the whole sort of Arafat routine. You go with that. But if you're wearing a surgical mask, which, look in the photos, huge, like, I mean, 30% of them are wearing either an N95 or some kind of a surgical medical mask. It's because they say it to they're being asked about this. They still think COVID is a dire threat. They believe that.
You know, there used to be laws to not allow masking, because the idea was, clearly, you're more likely to commit a crime if your face can't be seen. Go figure. We need to bring back this anti-masking
laws. It's a public safety issue in New York.
Yes.
For 200 years.
Yes.
Unless it was needed for construction or an imminent work task, you're not allowed to walk around with your face covered. But I argue this during the pandemic, Clay. So yeah. I was diving into this history back then. It is absolutely sensible policy to say your face must be, people must be able to see your face in public.
I think even more so, it had to be connected to the massive amounts of theft that we saw over taking place in New York City, because in a camera age, being able to be seen is even more of a distraction, you would think, from being willing to steal. But yes, it's evidence to me that these people are in a cult. And the scary thing about cults, for anyone out there that has ever studied them or paid attention to them at all, is they don't respond to rational thought. And this has been my argument for whatever your political beliefs are. You can be the most diehard Trump supporter out there right now. Don't be cult-like. Look at the facts and be willing to have a difference of opinion with a political figure. You should, unless you're the candidate yourself, you should never agree with anyone on 100% of the issues. I really mean that. And I love those of you out there who listen to Buck and me, and you're out there every day and you're diehards and you listen for 3 hours. I would say the same thing to you. You shouldn't agree with everything that we say on this program. There should be some things where you're like, I think they're wrong on this, or I agree with Buck, or I agree with Clay, but
even
I don't
Clay
agree with
Clay is
both
wrong
of them.
Sometimes, and I have to tell him because of the honesty of the show. I have to explain to him that flute players can be quite masculine and handsome, and that eating ice cream alone is not a problem. So,
and if we needed someone, Laura Travis would be very happy to call in and list a litany of things that I am 100% wrong with in 20 years of marriage. And I'm sure Carrie, even though you're relatively new in marriage, has a full list of things that she has decided that you are wrong about.
Oh, I am
as
wrong
well.
Sometimes. Yes. I am wrong sometimes. And I apologize in advance for all of those wrongs that I have not even admitted.
Yes, that's a very smart married man thing to do. All of you out there should be willing to challenge conventional wisdom and any opinion out there. And what you're seeing is, if you're, this is what's scary, and I think you said it also, and it's worth pointing out, you can be highly educated and incredibly dumb. And what you're seeing from these NYU faculty members, Ian Miller, who writes at Outkick and has been great on data, tweeted about it too, what you're talking about. They were performing a human shield to try to keep the police from being able to do anything to the NYU protesters. And all of the, in the picture, all of the faculty members had on masks, N95 or whatever, surgical masks. Can you imagine being a parent that is paying these people who are wearing masks to instruct your children?
I have some disconcerting news for you, Mr. Clay. Speaking about keeping it real here, more and more it is coming out. There are a lot of parents who are supportive of this.
I got an email from Barnard, the parents are crazy too. It's the women's side of Columbia's Barnard, right? Or Barnard?
Yes, Barnard. Yeah.
I got an email that I want to read that was sent to me yesterday of a mom who listens to our show and has a daughter, I believe, and is in one of the parent Facebook groups and says, like, a lot of them are supportive of these protesters.
These people, remember, you live in a red state. I know these lunatics. The lunatic parents and the lunatic kids tend to, not always, as we know, but tend to go together. We definitely need to have you read that email in a second. But first, I just wanted to note that this was on MSNBC. This is cut 10. Professor Scott Galloway, who, you know, look, he hates Trump. He's a Democrat. He actually does say some sensible things. He said things before. He says things about male masculinity and undermining men. And I think he's obviously a high wattage guy. I mean, he's probably the most famous professor at the NYU Stern School of Business. Him and Nouriel Roubini, you know, who predicted the 2008 crash. Anyway, Galloway's going on MSNBC and he's talking about, oh, what a surprise. The whole Israel thing is about being white, rich oppressors more than anything else. Play 10.
I think it's complicated. I think, one, young people have a healthy gag reflex on what people our age think. And I think that's healthy. Two, I don't think Israel has draped itself in glory over the last 20 or 30 years. They've shifted from being kind of a David to the Goliath. I also think that incorrectly students on campus conflate the civil rights movement with what is going on in Palestine and have digressed, unfortunately, because of an orthodoxy promoted by me and my colleagues that there are oppressors and oppressed. And the easiest way to identify oppressors is how white and how rich they are, or fairly or unfairly. Israel is seen as ground zero for whiteness and how wealthy they are.
We have been saying this for months. The reason they have mobilized, this is like BLM 3.0 visit to the Middle East. I mean, this is a white oppressing brown narrative that these kids have all latched onto. And he even says, because the professors all buy into it, Clay.
Yeah.
So you're hearing it from, he's a Democrat. He's a tenured NYU professor. And he's saying what Clay and Buck have been telling you for months, almost like we're ahead of the curve.
Credit to MSNBC for airing that and saying several things that are counter, I think, to what would typically be the left wing orthodoxy. Real discussion, even if it comes from places that usually doesn't allow it, I think should be praised.
I also think, you know, one of the, we don't have stated principles on this show other than just being truthful, awesome, and loving America. But I do think that something that we do, and we make a point of it, is when someone says something that is a true statement, we praise the truth in the statement and give credit for the statement. We don't say, oh, well, now this person is great, listen to them on everything. But if someone says something that is true and accurate, we will reflect it that way. We're not going to bash some thing that is said by a person just because we don't like the person, which is also a way of saying we got a great Fetterman clip for later on for everybody. People keep telling me Fetterman's fooling you. He's trying to keep McCormick from winning. That may well be true, and we have said that. But the sound bites that Fetterman is putting out, I can assure you, is enraging the left-wing pro-Hamas caucus. So,
Protesting his house like crazy. I mean, we'll talk about that and more when we come back. In the meantime, and I'll read you that email because I do think it's a great email from a mom who's got a daughter at Columbia. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation's been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. This includes our first responders and service members who serve our communities and country. This also includes those who die in the line of duty or are severely injured, or veterans who fought for our nation's freedoms only to return home, fall on tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes. The families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young kids, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Join Buck and myself and our company, Crockett Coffee, in donating, here's what we ask from you, $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code CLAY, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University, private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
We're trying to make sense of the craziness going on. Well, that's every day, but particularly the insanity on college campuses and what these protesters are running around saying. But there's also, what is the city of New York going to do about it? I would note that New York and specifically Columbia University was where an Arab American professor named Edward Said was teaching for a long time. And also he wrote Orientalism, which is a whole theory around how the West views the East, you know, meaning the Middle East specifically in this case, but really the East more broadly, with a bit of condescension, and all their problems are our fault. So this stuff has been at Columbia University for a long time. It's not new. It's been a hot bit of this. In fact, producer Ali reminded us that Ahmadinejad, I think it was back in 2010, when he was the president of Iran, or was it the prime minister of Iran at the time? I think he was the president. Anyway, he visited Columbia, and the Columbia students, Columbia University, was all very excited about this until they asked Ahmadinejad, what about gay people in your country and your treatment of them? And his response was, there are no gay people in Iran. So as you can imagine, that did not go over well, even with the Columbia students. Iran has 70 million people. It was 2007. I'm sorry. I was a few years off. I can't remember everything off the top of my head. 2007, he spoke at Columbia University. But let's just take a moment. The mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, was confronted. So he spends time in Florida. I think he was giving a speech. He's down here in Miami. I bet I could guess with three guesses which hotel he stayed in, because he likes to party. He does. He likes the nightlife. He likes the scene. So I have a feeling I know where Eric Adams would be staying. Probably somewhere very fancy, very nice. But he was approached on his flight back, the mayor of New York, approached by a protester on the plane. And the protester, unsurprisingly, unhinged, insane. Listen to this.
Are you Eric Adams? Yeah, you. You support the genocide in Palestine. There are homeless people all over New York. You're always partying. You don't actually care about the citizens of New York. Why are you even in Miami?
Clay, first of all,
yeah.
You go ahead.
You can tell she's got a mask on.
How is he supporting the genocide in New York, or rather the genocide in Gaza?
No, it's a fantastic question. You could also tell, you can't see this girl, but you can tell by the way she's speaking that she is ripping him while wearing a mask on the airplane there. A couple of things. One, can we stop normalizing, because this happened to Alec Baldwin too, pulling out your phone and recording someone while you berate them, regardless of what your politics are. I mean this for Republicans, for Democrats, for people who are independent. You don't make yourself or whatever cause you believe in look better when you hold up your camera and scream at someone over political beliefs. We've got to stop the normalization of this. We should, as a nation, I believe, ridicule people who are doing this. That's not to say you can't protest or advocate for what you believe, but in the same way that we've been pretty consistent on, hey, You shouldn't be able to show up outside of somebody's house on their front lawn and protest and beat drums and scream at them and wake up all their neighbors in a residential area. On an airplane, you shouldn't pull out your phone and scream at Eric Adams. But Buck, this is what they have unleashed. The left doesn't know how to put the genie back in the bottle. And now they're turning, instead of going after the great Satan, Donald Trump, they now are turning on each other. And this is what the left does. I've been waiting for it, French Revolution style, to turn on itself. And I think with the Israel protest, with the heckling that we're seeing happen of Eric Adams, even Alec Baldwin, strong man of the left, got ridiculed at his coffee shop for not being willing to scream Free Palestine.
I think for the first time on this show, I could say that we stand with Alec Baldwin,
which it's is the very first time we've
never
ever
said
agreed
that one
with
before.
Him.
But you know, if you're acting like a jerk in public and just harassing somebody, it's not discourse. It's not changing anyone's minds. It's not winning over hearts and minds. It's just an act of pure intimidation. And that's why what they're doing on campus and the stuff they're saying about Jews and Jewish support for Israel. And notice that woman, Eric Adams, supports the genocide in Gaza. I mean, it's first of all, it's not a genocide. Second of all, Eric Adams doesn't support it. And third of all, that woman is an idiot.
And what could he do, even if he did support it? Like, what does the mayor of New York City have to do with something that's happening 5,000 miles away from him, or whatever the mileage total is, as if they're going to be like, we weren't really sure what to do to respond to the terror attack. But Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, made a statement, and so we're going to change our mind.
Well, this is why Israel-Palestine for the left is such a perfect issue of virtue signaling. We've talked about the racial dynamic, then there's the religious dynamic, the anti-colonial stuff, and of course anti-Semitism broadly. But also, it's like climate change. It's an issue that everybody, the proximity that you have to it is such that you get to shout and scream and make demands and do nothing and think that you're a good person, right? No one is saying to these protesters, why don't you go to Gaza and, you know, work in the, you know, work in humanitarian capacity there or anything else. They just get to spew this nonsense. And then there's also just the idiocy of young people who are brainwashed. And I think we shouldn't forget that. We have Rudy Giuliani. Yes, the Rudy Giuliani shared this out a moment ago on his Twitter account. This is a, I said yesterday on the show, if I were in New York, I would go to these things and I would ask questions because you're going to just, it's a gold mine of content because these people are crazy, nasty, and dumb. Overwhelmingly, that's what these the professors too, mind you, right? Here is one of the, and I know it's only one, but I think it's indicative of many more. And the mindset, here's one of the protesters outside of NYU. Play it.
What would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
Clay, for leftists, it's just a social outing. You know, it's, yeah. Oh, we were at Columbia protesting and like hanging out. And like now we're down at NYU. And it's like, what is NYU even doing about this? Like, do you know? I don't know. This is just they get to bang like spoiled brats. They get to bang pots and pans together and demand attention. And they're not even calling for a ceasefire anymore. Notice they're calling for Palestine to be free. What does that mean? Gaza's free and it's a horrible place. Okay. It's a horrible place. The Palestinians have made very poor decisions.
I guarantee you those girls posted on social media about the fact that they went to the Free Palestine protest, and they probably got favorable responses on social media, which is, again, reflective of the fact that this is a social contagion. I don't really even understand. Initially, I think the idea of the college protest, correct me if I'm wrong, Buck, I'm trying to be logical here and understand what they're demanding. I believe they were initially demanding that there be a divestment of any assets that were connected to Israel. But does anybody even understand how, or first of all, I don't know how many assets there are that are connected to Israel, but the idea that you're going to demand that somebody sell anything that's connected to Israel, first of all, it's almost impossible. But secondly, they don't even understand what would that do?
Clay, the whole thing is preposterous, but also, again, I'm a native New Yorker. NYU and Columbia have received enormous amounts of money from Jewish American donors.
Yes.
And so these campuses are caught in quite a bind because the stuff that is being said about Jewish Americans, the Jewish people who support Israel, and that's kind of the defining or the separating line here, because there are Jewish protesters too. We should not lose sight of that. Clay, this goes to why I've been telling you, I don't think the vote's going to change that much. You said 10%. That could happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 80-20, though, in favor of Trump. I'd stake anything on that. It might move a little bit. There are Jewish pro-Hamas protesters in America. As crazy as that sounds to everybody, it is a reality. They think this is a moral crusade for them as well.
It would be one thing if they had started this moral crusade before October 7th. But after October 7th, it's really hard to decide that you need to go on a moral crusade to attack Israel. Because again, once 1,200 Jews got murdered in cold blood, it's very hard to argue, oh, the group that supported and put them in power, Hamas, in Gaza, is somehow deserving of your commendation and support.
There's also a backstory here. And as I said, I started out my Mideast studies, and I'm not an Arab Israeli expert specifically. That's something that people spend their whole lives on. But I started out working at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy as an intern for Dennis Ross, Clinton's envoy for the peace negotiations. I worked on the book, The Missing Piece, which you can, it's very boring. Don't buy it. But I worked on that book as a fact checker for a summer. And I started out on this issue, and so I have some institutional memory of it, or just some understanding of the history, and even the more recent history. Gaza was the Israelis, with tremendous internal opposition to it, pulled out and said, fine, we're going to get rid of all these settlements. We're going to take people, literally Jews, kicking and screaming from some of these settlements that are in this area of Gaza, and Gaza will belong only to the Palestinians. And it was a very difficult decision internally at Israel at the time, because there are Israelis who were like, why? This should be ours. This is not. But put that aside. They did it. They gave them greater autonomy. They let them hold their own elections, and they elected terrorist psychopaths who throw gay people off of buildings and who engage in mass murder. And you find out there are consequences. I don't know what else to say. What are the Israelis supposed to say now? Yeah, let's give them more autonomy and freedom. Let's give them more acts of good faith. But how many people do you think even know, Clay, that Gaza, about the evacuation from Gaza, who are protesting here? I bet you 5 out of 100 kids in these protests even knows that that happened. And the people who are all like jumping on this bandwagon and talking about this as though it's some kind of an uprising for justice, they're abject morons. Honestly, they know nothing.
College kids are dumb and have been dumb for a long time.
Well, we were in college and we're pretty smart. And our listeners, some of them are in college and they're very smart. So let's not get crazy.
But I'm less concerned with the college kid stupidity, more concerned with faculty. Columbia and NYU faculty showing up to create a human shield to prevent any removal of these tents from the quad and everything
else. Wearing masks. The professors. This is why I said, guys, it's not about fear of employment. They're tenured professors at these schools. They're wearing masks because of COVID and because of solidarity with the communist visual of the mask.
They're in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. They're far too old to be this dumb. And that is why I say they're in a cult. And they aren't willing to recognize the fact that they're in a cult. They think that they are the smart ones.
We also have another, they definitely think that. They have another man on the street interview where a journalist goes up and asks them, will you just condemn like the murder of Jews as a matter of principle? Will you condemn the October 7th attacks? We will play some of that audio for you. What are these are professors, not students. What do the professors say? It's very telling. Look, we want to get you set up with a great source of energy to fuel you throughout the day. I'm going to tell you, I started out my day with it this morning. Chalk. Chalk's male vitality stack is incredible. I take Chalk's pre-workout Chad mode, but the male vitality stack is a set of supplements that includes only all natural ingredients specifically sourced to fuel your body with energy and stamina. You don't want to be one of these left-wing lunatic protesters screaming for mommy out on the quadrangle who have nothing to do with themselves or getting nothing done. You want that energy, that fired up sense from within to get it done and rack up some wins, unlike all these protest loons. Chalk's male vitality stack will help you. They've been proven to replenish diminished amounts of testosterone in a guy's body up to 20% in just 3 months' time. Testosterone is that hormone that you need to avoid being a leftist lunatic protester. As we age, we produce less of it. Chalk's male vitality stack is an everyday part of a regimen to improve testosterone levels, focus, drive, and energy. Right now, Chalk is offering a supercharged spring sale on any subscription for life. Visit chalk.com. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code. That's chalk.com and use promo code Buck. The communists are coming. The communists are coming. They're swarming all over campuses. More of them, actually, just in the last hour. Harvard, which you always know if somebody went to Harvard and a lot more than that, when they tell you that they went to college in Boston. Like, well, there's dozens of colleges in Boston. Which one, you know, if you went to BU or Emerson or... you say that's where you went to school. But if you went to Harvard, you have to make people ask the question. You have to act like you don't want to tell people. Like, where did you go to school? Oh, a little university in Cambridge, you know, right next to the Charles River. Yeah. Anyway, Harvard's campus is now the site of another one of these protests. Another one of these Palestinian pro Hamas occupy. They got the, oh, I got the photos here. They got the tents out.
Oh yeah. Video like of the storming is out there.
Yeah. It's like an ad for an outdoor camping store or something. They got tents everywhere, probably some little cook stove, stuff like that. They're ready to go. And as we've said, it is lovely in the Harvard quad this time of year. So it's not that much of a hardship. You know, you get to live stream your fight against the man. Yeah. You know, smoke a little weed, call the cops pigs. I mean, a lot of this stuff going on there. But then we get a little sad because we go over to Texas, a state we all love. We love our Texans. Great state, beautiful people. We go down to Texas and University of Texas at Austin, Clay, they've got one underway right now as well. Yeah. So we've got more of these protests breaking out. I think you're going to see a whole lot more of them. It's an election year. These kids are all subject to this contagion. Their professors have been filling their brains with nonsense for years. But there is a professor I wanted you to hear from, actually. This is really interesting. Professor John McWhorter, who I believe is a Columbia University professor, but also makes the rounds on the podcast circuit, writes for The Atlantic. And he is an intellectual. He's a Black American author who questions the DEI narrative and wokeness and all this stuff. And so he is brilliant, but not as celebrated by the left as he would be if, say, he was like the serial plagiarist president of Harvard or something, right? Because, you know, he's breaking with the narrative. But here he is saying something that is going to get some people's attention. He is making the claim that this is what Jewish students on campus are being subjected to, provably, demonstrably subjected to right now, Clay, is worse than anything Black students have faced on college campuses in America in 50 years. Play this clip.
A generation of Jewish students are going to be imprinted by the fact that they feel persecuted, and they can point to episodes of stark resistance, physical violence, near physical violence, naked slurs hollered at them by people in real time. All of that on campuses is becoming regular. And there's a whole contingent of supposedly educated people telling them to shut up. Whereas, let's face it, racism on college campuses exists, but frankly, I can confidently say, essentially, no Black student for 50 years has encountered anything that stark. You have to work to find the quote-unquote microaggressions, etc. And yet, anytime a black person claims, student claims racism, then we have to pretend that college campuses are hotbeds of bigotry. That's not fair. And Jewish students are watching this and they're disgusted. And I would have to say, that's explicable. I understand their disgust.
Well said.
I think it's really well said. And again, this is a really important time, I think, to contemplate what standards for speech are acceptable and unacceptable. And one reason why, basically since the civil rights era, you would not have had overt racism against black students on campus is because of the societal pressure. We've talked about on this show before. If you were a kid and you were caught on video using a racial slur on any college campus in America, a white kid, if you're a black kid and you rap along to a song, nobody does anything. But if you're a white kid, even potentially if you're rapping along to some popular song today, you could be expelled. You could lose your job. Your basic entire future could vanish overnight because of one word that you uttered on a video. There are major societal consequences for saying anything that could even be perceived as racist. I'm not talking about hurling racial slurs at someone, Buck. I'm talking about rapping along to a Kanye West song or some other song that is popular at this point in time. That's how protective the speech is when it comes to black students, gay students, trans students. You'd be kicked out immediately. Chanting death to Israel, if you chanted death to black people or death to gay people, your entire life is basically over on any of these campuses.
Oh, absolutely. And I would say, and this is, it sounds almost crazy as you say it, but then you know it's also true as it is said. If you had the choice in America today of being somebody who at 16 was caught on video saying the racial slur that, you know, you're never allowed to say under any context, even if you're like reading from a manuscript or a court record, right? Never allowed to say it under any context. By the way, I disagree with that rule.
Yes.
We abide by this because this is the rule, abide by it because this is the rule. I disagree with that rule, meaning the intent of a word always matters. Calling someone a slur is wrong and should be punished. A word in any context being unable to be said by some people is absurd, actually. And by the way, Christopher Hitchens completely, for those of you who remember Christopher Hitchens, completely agreed with me on this. He was like, we should never have this thing of you can never say the word to the point, Clay, where people can't, in a court transcript, say it. Okay, but
let me give you an example, by the way. My last book, 2017, I quoted Muhammad Ali, person ever called me a blank, right? We can't say lots of words, to be fair, on this radio program. Yeah, like, we can't curse, all sorts of things. The publisher called me. There's not very many curse words in my book, but they're all there. And they said, hey, we don't think you can use the N-word in this book because you're a white guy. And I said, well, it's a quote from Muhammad Ali. And they said, we're advising you not to use the word quoting him.
This is lunacy. This is wrong.
We're not going to block out words. Like, it's important the context in which he is speaking matters. So just to your example, this was only a few years ago. The publisher contacted me and said, you can't quote what Muhammad Ali said because you're a white guy.
But you can also even just take it into this whole other direction for a second. I remember, I think it was Professor Christakis was his name, and they made the rounds. There was this intellectual dark web for a while, they called it, of different professors on campus. And I think some of them were, in earnest. I think some of that was just branding and marketing for people who were saying stuff that conservatives have been saying for as long as we've been conservatives. So in my case, 42 years. But anyway, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, these people came up with these new ideas, but some of them were saying it on campus and there was some conversion situation. So I get it. Okay. But remember, Clay, Christakis at Yale, it was over costumes for children at Halloween.
Yeah.
And the Yale student body and the Yale administration said, Yale's got these protests going on, everybody. I mean, this is the same entity. They upheld the standard that a 6-year-old dressing up as a Native American
Cowboys and Indians.
Pocahontas, for example. A six-year-old girl dresses as Pocahontas. She's a white girl that is triggering and makes people feel unsafe. Therefore, Yale, the university, sent out guidance to please don't have your kids, for professors, really this was, don't have your kids dress as anything that could be cultural appropriation for Halloween. That's how Yale responds on that issue. And then the Yale administrators and Yale professors are standing, you know, in lockstep in many cases with kids who are running around saying, death to Israel, get the Jews out of here. They're committing a genocide. They, you know, control U.S. foreign policy and push us into this and that. I mean, the stuff that they're saying is so aggressively bigoted and biased, but they're making an exception because that's what John McWhorter is saying. He's like, the rules are a joke, friends. The rules are a joke.
Think about how, in that context, for Halloween, people are angrier at a six-year-old for dressing up cowboy and Indian than they are at a grown adult for pretending that he's a woman. Like, you're heroic if you dress up, if you're a man and you pretend to be a woman. In the mind
you're
of the
stunning
left,
and
you're
brave,
heroic.
Even though you look like a dude with long hair and too much makeup on. I mean, yes.
And if you're six and you dress up as cowboys and Indians or some other similar-esque costume, it's unacceptable.
But just also on the rules that we all have to live by, if you were saying, is it better, and you could do this with a whole range of things, better to be caught on video saying the word that we're never allowed to say at 16, or, in terms of your employment prospects, be accused of manslaughter, killing someone outside of a bar, in a fight. Far better for your employment prospects to be charged with manslaughter. I think if you're convicted, maybe that's probably because that's a felony.
Here's an easy one.
For your reputation to be charged with manslaughter at 16 than to be said, to say that word on video. That's the country we live in.
If you're a college freshman, it would be better for you to get multiple DUIs than be caught on video using a racial slur.
Well, no question. That's not
right?
even that's
I mean, but
a,
think,
that's
but think about how
ball.
Crazy
that's
that
easy.
Is. Multiple DUIs. You could have killed somebody. You got behind the wheel not once, but twice driving drunk. People be like, oh, you know, you shouldn't have done it, but we'll still hire you. Video using a racial slur, your life is basically over.
We have racial power dynamics that are very, very much at play in this country, just not the ones that the media pretends exist. And that's what the Jewish students on campus
are learning,
are finding out. Oh, there's race politics in America. It's just not what the media and the professoriate on campus says it is.
You have been oppressed for thousands of years if you are Jewish. Documented without question historically. You have just 6 months ago had the biggest massacre of Jews occur since the Holocaust. You can say whatever you want about a Jewish person on any campus right now with no consequences. And I think there are a lot of people out there that this has been eye-opening. I don't think you and I are stunned by it. I think we would have seen this coming.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a lot of people out there on the left who may be traditionally Jewish Democrat voters, it's been very eye-opening and enlightening for them.
Well,
where
this is, I mean, even during the BLM era, you would have seen leftists. Again, there are a lot of conservative Jews listening to us right now. I was at a Passover with my conservative Jewish friends and neighbors a couple nights ago. They already knew this, right? They know this reality, but there's this, you know, the 50 or 60% of Democrat voting Jews in this country. There's a contingent of them who are really hard left. And, you know, they would have gone to, say, BLM protests and stood alongside some of these BLM organizers. And I just want to tell them, the BLM, some of those folks are incredibly anti-Semitic, just so you know.
They hate you.
They hate you. Yes.
Yes.
I know that. Conservative Jews know that. But some of the left-wing Jews think that, oh, no, we're all the oppressed people. No. There's a hierarchy of oppression, and Jews are white. As far as the rest of the left is concerned, Jews can argue that as much as they want, and some of them are. And we've said here, Israelis represent, you know, a whole range of ethnicities, skin colors, everything. But at the end of the day, the American left thinks that Jews are white and white people are oppressors. And that's how it goes.
You're the colonizer. You're the oppressor. Even when you're the victim, you are the aggressor. That is the reality of how identity politics requires you to be seen. Look, Mother's Day is coming up soon. And a lot of you out there, if you got kids like I do, you're responsible for mom. If you got your own mom, your grandma, everybody out there, what do you give someone for Mother's Day? After a few years, it gets tough. Jewelry, clothing, nice pictures. Over time, you sit around, you're like, man, it's Mother's Day again, and you also have anniversaries, and you got Christmas, and you got, how about legacy box? How about giving your wife, your mom, your grandma, something that they can keep forever? It is a gift that they will have for decades to come. It's a preservation of your family's memories, whether it's VHS tapes, whether it's old photos. You can rely on Legacy Box to take care of your family's memories forever. They're based right in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which coincidentally is my mom's hometown. I've spent a lot of time in Chattanooga over the years. And you can get started by going to legacybox.com/clay for the best Mother's Day sale ever. 60% off regular prices. Perfect gift for mom. Legacybox.com/clay for 60% off. That's legacybox.com/clay.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University, private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, hey, I'm covered, no worries. Not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance.
And that can be a lot of money for your family, but how do you know you're not being overbilled? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
So unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate?
HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance.
When your medical claim comes in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million.
Bottom line, insurance isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it before you see another healthcare provider. HealthLock.com. HealthLock.com.
Wow, we got minute-by-minute updates here on these campus protests going on. As we told you, up at Harvard, they now have their own pro-terrorist protest out on the quad. And we're a little sad. UT Austin. I got to say, if I were, people ask me these days, and there was actually an article about this too, Clay. I'm trying to remember where it was, about how more and more people are eschewing the, you know, look, the oldest universities in the country, for the most part, are clustered in the northeastern United States, coastal northeast of the United States. It's where the Ivy League is, a bunch of other fancy schools. And there used to be this idea, oh, you get into one of them, your life will be easy. Let me tell you, I know a lot of losers who went to Harvard. I do. It's true. I know a lot of very unimpressive people, a lot of schmoes who go to Ivy League schools. And not just the ones who go to Cornell, because everyone makes fun of them anyway. Because they're like, we're also an Ivy school. I'm going to get so many angry Cornell emails over that one. But
well, that's
fine.
The great Andy Bernard on The Office bit,
well,
right?
That was why it was so great, is because people are always, because the other Ivy League schools are always like, yeah, I guess Cornell's Ivy League. It's a great school. I'm kidding, but
lots of people feel like they've made it when they go to an elite school. And then you come out and you're like, yeah, nobody really cares.
Nobody cares. No, it's true. Nobody, especially for undergrad, nobody cares. But there's this whole movement toward people looking at a lot of schools in the red states that everyone's moving to, because there are great schools where you have better weather, better campuses, better overall experience. And I know Austin is very, very blue. So please, the Texans always like, Austin doesn't count. I'm like, no, I get it. But it's still a beautiful campus. It's a great school. I've walked around the campus there a few times. But they had a protest that started like an hour or two ago, and they have, am I right, Clay? You're seeing this. Have they already deployed
shared videos.
National Guard in Austin to clear it?
They just rolled right. They were trying to take over the quad at the University of Texas, as they have just taken over the quad at Harvard, this spreading all over the Northeast in particular, also on the West Coast. And there's been some talk, my school where I went, Vanderbilt, there have been a few southern red states. They were trying to take over the quad at the University of Texas, and they just sent in the full cavalry and just wiped out the whole protest. They have arrested everybody. They have cleared the entire quad. If you've been frustrated at the response that you have seen at many of these universities, Greg Abbott and the state of Texas said, yeah, we ain't playing. And this, a lot of these schools are not going to have it happen anyway. Try this at Texas A&M. You got no hope of the students will just roll out and be like, screw you guys. Like, we're tearing down your campus quad protest. You should be able to protest. I want to be clear. You don't have the right to put tents on the quad and take over public property for your protest. This should have never been allowed to happen anywhere. But Texas is saying this ain't happening. This is what I think Ron DeSantis would do. This is what I think Governor Kemp down in Georgia will do. This is what I believe Bill Lee in Tennessee, Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma. I could run through a lot of red state governors that are just going to say, nah, we're not playing this game. And I give credit to Texas. They may have to do it multiple times because these kids may get arrested and they may get let right back out on the streets and they may come right back. And it's important to mention, I do think this is important to the extent we haven't mentioned it, Buck. A lot of these people I don't think are even enrolled at the university. They are professional agitators who are showing up and trying to get into a tent on campus, and they're not even enrolled at the university. They're just professional protesters. Same people who got all fired up about BLM. Remember how they would pull in with trucks and suddenly there's all this material that gets distributed, all these signs. All these tents aren't suddenly showing up by accident. This is an organized attempt, probably funded by Middle Eastern interest, or China, if you want me to really kind of dive into where this is coming from. But Texas saying we're not doing this.
You know, we had mentioned the first hour that there are, I don't know if we'd call them unlikely heroes, but some unlikely heroic moments that are coming out of this whole situation too. And we had that caller last hour who said, I appreciate you guys give it to me straight. I'm aware, Clay and I are aware, that John Fetterman may be playing some 4D chess here by making him seem like he's reasonable on this. Because there's really only two. There's crazy and normal on this issue, right? There's not a lot of middle. Like, if you think anything about what Hamas did on October 7th wasn't as heinous as anything could ever be, you know, you're crazy. So there's crazy and there's normal on this issue. And Fetterman is going hard in the direction of normal on a regular basis here on this issue. Here he is just straight up chewing out some of these anti-Semitic pro-Hamas protesters. This is 17. Play it.
It's completely reasonable to want a ceasefire or to have a different view on that. Absolutely. That's a democracy. But it is not appropriate or legal, or it's helpful to advance your argument if you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people, and that doesn't make you noble. It just makes you an asshole. I'm not suggesting that you have to agree with my view, but it's just saying it doesn't really allow you to disrupt lives and to inflict those kinds of damages on people that are just trying to get on with their lives.
Yeah, that is the critical distinction. It's essentially what you were saying in essence a moment ago, which is, if people wanted to gather peaceably with their dumb placards, they do this all the time. I remember at college, the movie PCU, as in politically correct university, PCU is brilliant on this issue, although I don't think PCU is politically correct enough to be made anymore. I don't think you could get away with making that movie now, but that's a whole other thing. At the time, it was, you know, maybe a little bit on the edgy side. It's a fun watch, I will tell you. But it's just about these campus activists, whether it's the vegans, the black student group, all these different sort of I can't even remember them all now. All these different protest entities that are on campus that are upset about the feminists, obviously feminists in the 90s, a lot of fun with that one.
Yes.
All this stuff, you know, if you want to make your point, you can make your point. That's not what these people are doing. And when you go into a Starbucks and shout at people with a bullhorn, or even shout at Alec Baldwin, as much of a jerk as that guy is, you're the jerk. You are the jerk when you're doing that. And even Fetterman knows it. So golf clap for John Fetterman.
You mentioned all that, Buck, and it took me back in time. You can still look this up. Do you know what the first thing that I ever had published in my entire life was? In 1997, I was a freshman at George Washington University. Somebody can Google this and pull it up. There was a controversy on campus because a school administrator at GW, Buck, used the phrase rule of thumb and
about the thickness of the stick that you hit a woman with. Yeah.
A left wing feminist chick. They had a protest demanding that the campus administrator be fired because the language was demeaning, because historically rule of thumb was what you could, according to her, beat a woman with based on the width of your thumb, a rod. And I wrote at 18 years old, hey, this is, and I'm paraphrasing, this is absolutely ludicrous. Context matters. The idea that you would fire anybody over this is crazy. At 18, that was actually considered to be somewhat of a liberal opinion. Now it would be a conservative opinion. I've stayed pretty much consistent. You can go look it up. GW Hatchet, student newspaper, in that controversy, I weighed in. So, say whatever you want. Make whatever argument you want to make. Do not bring your friggin' tent and take over a university campus and think that you're going to be able to do it. And I give credit, state of Texas, Vanderbilt University, which is a private school here in Nashville. Red states seem more open to being able to solve this problem than blue states and blue cities by and large do.
So far, and I hope it continues. It's just going to be good for everything in these red states. You know, the big three of Texas, Tennessee, Florida in terms of migration, but also the schools. This is going to be good for the schools in those states. You know, in Florida, Ron DeSantis just came out and said, again, to clarify, if you block a road as a protest, you're getting arrested and you're going to be prosecuted. And he made the point that we've made on the show many times, which is people need to get to their jobs. People need to get to the hospital. Ambulances get caught in that stuff. Like, the idea that you could just shut down, you could steal hours of somebody's life and put them through that frustration because you're upset about climate change or Palestine or whatever. We are not a civilized place if we allow lunatics to do this stuff.
I think it would only take putting, like, passing specific law and saying, hey, you have to go to prison for 6 months. No ifs, and, or buts. If you block a road for a protest, regardless of what your motivation is, in the United States, you're going to jail.
Oh, you know, sometimes you look at, like, things you get automatic sentencing for, mandatory minimums for.
Yeah.
We talked about this. Poor guy coming back from vacation.
Let's play. Do we have the audio of that to play when we come back to close out
Turks
the...
Turks and Caicos. Look, I mean, you know, I know the Biden State Department is full of a bunch of, you know, gosh darn communists. I know that. But maybe in their hardened communist hearts, they could remember we got an American dad and husband who's facing 12 years in prison for what is clearly an accident. He had a couple of rounds, he had a couple of rounds of ammunition on him when he was going through the airport security to come home, not even to get into the country.
Like, yeah.
Not like he's going to do anything to Turks and Caicos. He's trying to get back to America. It was a mistake. Everyone knows it's a mistake. They have a mandatory system now where they'll send him to prison for 12 years?
12 years.
For 12 years?
Guys from Oklahoma City, we'll have the audio for you when we come back. So I think CBS News did a story on this. Just I almost think it's a PSA for everybody out there. You just came back from the Caribbean. He went with his wife on a vacation trip to Turks and Caicos, which I don't know the overall crime rates in Turks and Caicos. I would think that it's probably pretty safe.
It's pretty good.
Really?
It's not. It's some of these, like Trinidad and Tobago is or Tobago.
I lived in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm still licensed there so far as I know.
Some of those islands actually have a lot of crime for the size of the island.
But I would think Turks and Caicos would be more like St. Bart's where you just were, where it's very safe. But maybe I'm wrong.
Clay, the only crime in St. Bart's is wearing designer labels that are too ostentatious. They will throw you in prison if your Gucci logo is too big. I'm just saying.
If your wife's ring is too
not enough carrots.
Enough carrots. I think they might throw you in jail there.
It does offend their eyes when you are not wearing Loro Piana in public. There,
I don't even know what that is.
There you go.
Never. Heard of it. I'm not cool enough. I'm legit. I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Look, you want to make some money? Go to the Caribbean? I got an idea. How about some insight about the U.S. stock market? Ask our friend Mark Chaykin, who writes and edits reports on the markets that cut through the noise and the nonsense and bring you great ideas. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years before focusing on this full time. He invented three new indices back in his Wall Street days for the NASDAQ, and he's predicted, in writing, some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent huge surge in AI stocks. He says a lot of Americans could be missing out on a critical turning point in this AI-induced frenzy. Mark says this is a new dawn for U.S. stocks and predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days' time. That's why Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with our listeners. He put everything in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com, paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.